We're continuing our look at Acts chapter 13, verses 16 through 22. Let me pick up with Paul's sermon, starting in verse 17. He says, "The God of the people of Israel chose our fathers. He made the people prosper during their stay in Egypt. With mighty power, he led them out of the country. He endured their conduct for about 40 years in the desert, and he overthrew seven nations in Canaan and gave them their land to his people as an inheritance. And all of this took about 450 years. So Paul is giving us now this outline of Israel's Old Testament history. Similar to Stephen's previous defense before the Sanhedrin, Paul's message utilizes what has been called historical retrospect. He chooses to rehearse the story of Israel from their origins to the monarchy to God's promises to David, which he will say are fulfilled in Christ. This historical retrospect was a critical part of first century Judaism's story. Let me take you back to Deuteronomy chapter 26, verses 5 through 10, where we find what a Jewish person was required to recite when they brought their first fruit offering to God. Here's what they would say. "My ancestor Jacob was a wandering Aramean who went to live as a foreigner in Egypt. His family arrived few in number, but in Egypt they became a large and mighty nation. When the Egyptians oppressed and humiliated us by making us their slaves, we cried out to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. He heard our cries and saw our hardship, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us up out of Egypt with a strong hand and a powerful arm, with overwhelming terror and with miraculous signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land flowing with milk and honey. And now, O Lord, I have brought to you the first portion of the harvest you have given me from the ground." I bring this to your attention because it reveals something we might have otherwise missed. Now, I often cite the New Testament kerygma, which of course is the basic outline of our faith: Jesus' virgin birth, his sinless life, his substitutionary death, his resurrection, and his soon coming. This is the standard outline of every New Testament sermon, beginning with Peter's address on the day of Pentecost. Seeing this, we can now understand that there was indeed an Old Testament kerygma, a standard recitation of God's dealings with the Israelites through time. So Paul, like Stephen, is actually using a well-known outline to begin his message about Christ. Every Jew would know the history of God's dealing with Israel by heart. They formed the Jewish view of exceptionalism. Paul is therefore starting his message with what he knows will be universally accepted by his audience. Let me give you one more thought here. Paul is using this universally accepted Old Testament kerygma as a bridge to the New Testament story of Christ's death and resurrection. As such, the apostolic message is not an entirely new outline. Instead, it is the logical extension, or as some see it, the inevitable sequel to God's dealing with his people in ancient days. Join me again next time for more of Verse by Verse.